Hello, and thank you for joining us today for this podcast, Addressing Patient Monitoring in the Development of CAR T-Cell Therapies, which is sponsored by Cerber Research. My name is Andrew Warmington. I'm the manufacturing editor at Sightline, and I will be your moderator today. And I'm joined by several experts from Cerber: Jérôme Salette, who is the Chief Scientific Officer, Kartikeyan Devaraju, who is Senior Scientist for Cell and Gene Therapy, and Dr. Nithyanandan Selya, who is the Global Director of Flow Cytometry. Welcome to you all, and thank you for joining us. So I'd like to start with a topical question that will lead us on into a wider discussion. Given the recent FDA safety investigation connected with the use of cell and gene therapies in general, and the in-CAR T therapies in particular, what do you think are the implications for the CAR T clinical trial landscape? Jérôme, perhaps you could lead us here?
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. Well, the cell and gene therapy clinical trial landscape has always been a special focus for FDA, EMA, and other regulatory agencies around the world. And in particular, for CAR T-cell trials, everyone is well aware of the recent FDA investigation in requirements for labeling the CAR therapy product. And obviously, the CAR therapy field takes this recommendation of the FDA very seriously. Most of the products use retroviral vectors to produce CAR T-cells, and the vectors are needed for long-term stable expression of CAR and have proven to be safe in clinical use. And since the vectors used to produce the CAR T-cell therapy integrate into the genome as such, one must understand the exact integration site of the vector within the genome, but also the quantity of copies integrated into cells. And the importance of this is underscored by recent reports using genome sequencing CAR T trials. It is also theoretically possible that this vector recombine with other viruses and thereby restoring their ability to replicate. So therefore, the replication competency must be also monitored in patients that undergo CAR therapy. And in response, Cerber Research has formulated comprehensive solutions to support pharma, biotech, biopharma companies to address these specific demands from the regulatory agencies. Cerber Research is a global clinical trial organization that provides comprehensive services to support clinical trials and research in pharmaceutical, biotechnology, medical device industries anywhere in the world. And as a CRO, Cerber Research offers expertise in areas such as clinical trial management, data management, biostatistics, regulatory affairs, logistics, and central and specialty laboratory services. And we play a crucial role in helping our customers to navigate and execute various aspects of clinical research, from study design to regulatory submission, and in this case, patient safety monitoring in CAR T therapy.
And what specific patient safety monitoring is demanded by the FDA, and how can Cerber Research support the clinical trial landscape to accommodate that? Again, for you, Jérôme.
Well, I would like to emphasize that the journey of monitoring patient safety actually starts with the CAR T-cell product safety during the manufacturing process. And monitoring patient safety in CAR T-cell trials typically involves rigorous testing and assessments. And we provide solutions focused on long-term follow-up of patients in CAR T trials, as well as other cell and gene therapy trials. And key elements include monitoring replication competency of viral vectors, accurately identifying the integration of viral vectors in two ways. First, specifying the location of integration, and second, quantification of CAR copies within cells of our patients. And last, of course, evaluating the persistence of CAR T cells with enumeration of CAR T cells in the blood of patients and immunophenotyping of CAR T cells in blood, BMA, CSF, as needed. And as emphasized, all of the mentioned solutions can be applied in both the manufacturing process and clinical trials. So in the rest of this interview, our scientific experts will take you through our solutions in more details. And we have a unique suite of service where we combine cutting-edge flow cytometry with ultra-sensitive molecular and leading genomic services. These advanced methods can be combined with our off-the-shelf cytokine and chemokine assays. And finally, before going to our scientific experts, I'd like to mention that one of our core strengths is that we can tailor each assay according to the sponsor's unique requirements. This is typically by our team of scientific experts in close collaboration with the sponsor.
Thank you. Moving on from that, I'd like to ask, what molecular technologies does Cerber use and how are they applied to meet the FDA requirements? Kartikeyan, and I think this is one for you.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, it's really important. Regulatory agencies do require monitoring of CAR T cells to address patient safety, and the lentiviral and retroviral vectors, as mentioned, integration to the genome, and thus require follow-up of the CAR T cells in the patients. immediately post-therapy and up to 15 years after administration. The genome integration remains for the lifetime of the cells wherever it is present inside the body. And thus, as long as these cells are alive, the CAR will be expressed in helping to fight the tumor cells. This is one of the reasons stable expression that the retroviral vectors are used. These have been also used in the clinic safely for the last 20 years. And though it has been used safely, each coin has two sides, and CAR T cells harboring these in the genome have theoretical concerns. One of them is random integration, and second is the number of copies that are integrated to the genome. To address these possibilities, regulators have come up with a list of assays that are necessary to check the safety of the patient by monitoring these CAR T cells. And first is a replication competent virus testing. The viral vectors used for the therapy are replication incompetent, meaning they cannot divide. And wherever the cells have these vectors, they cannot expand inside them. This is because the vectors have undergone a lot of safety steps during the manufacturing process. And to ensure a remote chance that these vectors recombine with the viruses in the environment or in the patient, we have to screen these vectors at different stages of the viral vector production and incorporation to the T cells. The screening starts with the materials that are used for the production and also in the cells that are used for manufacturing the plasmid to make the viral vectors, then the viral vectors, as well as during the production of CAR T cells. And before it's being administered and after administration, the same tests have to be done repeatedly on a regular interval. So having ensured that it's replication incompetent, secondly, we have to ensure that the vector is safe, meaning that the number of integration copies in a given cell has to be verified. FDA and other regulatory agencies prescribe a safety limit, especially on how many copies per cell could be allowed so that it doesn't induce any toxicity. And to measure such low copy numbers, sensitive genomic methods such as digital droplet PCR have to be used. And the technology enables us to divide a DNA sample in a PCR reaction into tens of thousands of droplets so that each droplet is less than 1 nanoliter. The PCR in each of these droplets are used to sensitively measure very low levels of vector integration to the cell genome. And this is a very critical test that can be used to monitor the cells periodically after therapy administration. Thus, we can monitor the behavior of these cells inside the body and also ensure the safety of CAR T cells. And the third approach, which is also ensuring the patient safety as well as the product safety, is about precisely determining where these vectors integrate into the genome. This requires sequencing approaches that is more sensitive with unbiased and targeted methods, giving the best readouts. It is equivalent to finding a needle in a haystack, detecting where the viral vectors are harbored within the genome. So we have developed a very sensitive approach targeting long-read sequencing coupled with the CRISPR-Cas9 system using the Oxford Nanopore's technology. And this is very efficient and which can target the viral integration sites. And we do have very reliable data so that there is a robust and time-efficient approach to having no pitfalls associated with other sequencing methods.
Thank you for that very comprehensive answer. And now we'll move on to the next question. What's the importance of flow cytometry assays in monitoring CAR plus cells? And are there other emerging applications for flow cytometry in this field? Nithya Nandan, you're the expert here.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. So monitoring CAR T cells in patients is very critical to know the patients who are treated with CAR T cells actually have these cells in the circulation to have the therapeutic effect. Flow cytometry is a very powerful technology, so we use the flow cytometry to monitor and characterize CAR T cells. Enumeration of the CAR T cells by the flow cytometry provides valuable data for the sponsors, also for the clinicians, so they can evaluate the response on the treatment. So basically, the increased number of CAR T cells could indicate that the therapy is actually working. The CAR T cells are responding to the patient's cancer cells and possibly killing the cancer cells. So that's an indication that the CAR T cells are proliferating in the system. So on the other hand, if there's no CAR T cells present as expected, then the clinicians also can evaluate that the treatment is not working and interfere with the other treatments, so they can reevaluate the CAR T cell therapy. Number of CAR T cells at different time points also could provide valuable data on the persistence. The phenotype of the CAR T cells is also important for the persistence, which could mean the patients could be cured from the cancer. So additional characterization of these CAR T cells with activation markers, memory phenotypic markers, will provide more data to understand what happens to these cells once inside the patients. So certain memory subsets could indicate that the CAR T cells could stay inside the patient, which is important for the response, even if it's low numbers within the patients to kill re-emerging cancer cells. All these valuable data could be collected relatively short time with the flow cytometry assays. So in a normal immune response, when we think about the threat coming from an infection, so any other things, the immune system has programmed to regulate its own activations. So in this case, I think what we are doing in the CAR T cells is it's already activated cells and then transfused with the CAR construct and then putting back into the patients. So the characterization of these CAR T cells is important, which can be done by flow cytometry to have a bigger picture. The new technology with the high parameter spectral flow cytometry can provide more information on these CAR T cells. So we can characterize many different markers, which can provide data to improve the CAR, going back to R&D, and all CAR T cells manufactured in a different way. So there's a lot of work going on for that as well. So higher parameter instruments can also provide opportunity to get more information with the limited sample volume, specifically for the CSF or bone marrow aspirate. So in the conclusion, I think the flow cytometry technology also improving with the high parameters will be a very big beneficial for CAR T trial to monitor the CAR T cells and also monitor the phenotype of the cells.
It's a really interesting technology. So what are the possibilities and advantages for combining flow cytometry with genomic solutions? I guess either of you or any of you could come in on this one. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, let me start first. So advanced and complex technologies such as the flow cytometry or spectral flow cytometry and the next generation sequencing or NGS can be complementary for certain applications in CAR T cell monitoring as well. So flow cytometry methodology, as discussed previously by me, can provide data quickly to assess the presence and expansion of CAR T cells. So the limitation on the flow cytometry assay is the sensitivity of the assay. So if there are very few CAR T cells are present, we may or may not be able to detect through flow cytometry. So this is where the NGS comes in. I think the molecular methods, such as ddPCR, can be sensitive than the flow cytometry. NGS could also detect the presence of CAR T cells with high sensitivity, but can also take longer to produce the data. Ideally, we can screen many samples, also called high throughput screening, with the flow cytometry, and then come back with identify certain samples or certain phenotypes and come back with the NGS solutions. In terms of FDA's concern about secondary tumors, in addition to vector integrated lentiviral vector integration sites mentioned for implication of integration sites in safety and CAR T cells, sequencing with transcriptome and immune repertoire sequencing provide additional data. So IRS allows the characterization of any emerging clonal subsets post-CAR T therapy. So challenge with the flow cytometry is identifying T cell lymphomas in CAR T cells patients is difficult because there's no specific markers for T cell lymphomas. But there are a couple of ways we can look at clonality with flow cytometry. There are new assays marketed with TRBC1, which is called T cell receptor constant beta chain 1. That can provide some indication that there are some clonality for the T cells within these patients. So this is taken into account, and this can be combined with sequencing approaches such as IRS and provide more data for the clinicians. So in addition to what is discussed so far, the NGS also applied genomics and diagnostics for detecting cancer causing mutations. This is used in patient screening and diagnosis. It does have a critical role in diagnosis and treatment. So let Karthikeyan talk about additional advantages here.
Karthikeyan, over to you.
Thank you, Niti, and thank you, Andrew. So I just want to pitch in again, especially when Niti mentioned it's immune repertoire sequencing, especially what does it mean is we monitor the and sequence the B cell receptors as well as the T cell receptors, which are the primary immune cells within the body. So they're really important to kind of understand if there's any immune reaction to the CAR therapies as well as for the clonality. And again, NGS, as mentioned, has a high sensitivity and it's applied for minimum residual disease analysis for various cancers because there are a lot of panels available, especially for multiple myeloma, acute myeloid lymphoma, and chronic lymphoid leukemias. And especially it has an added value in allogeneic cell therapies where it plays a critical role in sequencing to verify and certify the clones that will be used subsequently for CAR therapy product manufacturing, meaning that we have to know if this cell, which will be expanded for infusion to patients, is it safe or not. So sequencing does have a complementary role to flow cytometry and is very, very sensitive. What has been mentioned so far also applies to other immune cell therapies, not only CAR T cells, but also CAR NK cells or natural killer cells, CAR macrophages, or CAR dendritic cells, and other flavors of CAR cells, but also TCR T therapies, which are different flavors of immune cell therapies in oncology. And also, these are applicable in oncogene therapies, which also come in different flavors. And I think for lack of time, I will not go into more details, but the applications do not stop here as well. It also can expand into many other areas. For example, using immune repertoire sequencing or other sensitive molecular approaches, we can identify tumor-infiltrating leukocytes, especially in solid tumors. And this opens up a lot more opportunities for discovery of new biomarkers, new targets for CAR TCR therapies, and coupled with flow cytometry and molecular methods, it can help in broadening the monitoring of current CAR therapies, especially in identifying new biomarkers, as mentioned again, to develop new targets for difficult-to-treat cancers. Thus, the application starts with early on with the diagnosis, whereas NGS does play a role with all of these panels, and then continue with the therapy monitoring once the patient is undergoing therapy, especially with cell or gene therapies, as well as aiding in research to improve the diagnosis, therapy targets, monitoring, thus ultimately contributing to enhancing the patient's health. So we have these technologies and instruments in-house with the right experts and the right solutions that will enable us, what we have discussed so far, to offer both customized solutions, meaning we offer tailor-made solutions or customized solutions depending on your need and each and every trial or each and every product, as well as off-the-shelf solutions. So we have a lot of assays that could be implemented off-the-shelf, but also please discuss with us needed for customized assays. The future is really exciting, and coupled with our broader portfolio for specialized testing, we can collaborate with pharma and biotech to implement CAR T trials with various applications. And again, to emphasize, it's not limited to CAR Ts, but also other oncocell therapies and oncogene therapies.
Right, thank you. Really fascinating technology. So finally, I'd like to ask, what innovations can we tap into when it comes to patient safety monitoring in the context of clinical trials? Things like personalized diagnostics, AI, and the use of drones to overcome logistical hurdles spring to mind. But what do you see as the key innovations, Jerome?
Well, we are constantly innovating and investigating new technologies and new modalities for advancing research in healthcare for the benefits of our patients and our clients. Sequencing is a good example, as we recently introduced a new AVID sequencer in our genomics platform, and then we offer increased quality standards. Another example could be spatial omics, as it is an important technology to decipher the tumor environment, which is, of course, essential for the development of more effective therapies. But innovation is not just about science and about testing. It covers the whole value chain from a sample to a new healthcare value proposition. And in particular, we are now flying drones for developing new logistics modalities. And as Seba Research is part of Seba Healthcare, and it's 93 million patients every year, we develop new approaches for leveraging on our data in routine and highly specialized clinical pathology and histocytopathology. AI is, of course, becoming part of our routine tools for improving both our science and our processes. And it is only the beginning, I think, of the great promises of AI in healthcare for pushing the frontiers of research and of knowledge far beyond what we know today. We really believe that all those innovations, not taken individually, but really combined in a smart way by smart people, can revolutionize the lives of our patients. And this is really a very exciting time to be, especially in genomic research and medicine.
Well, on that note, I'm afraid we're out of time. I'd like to thank Jerome Salet, Kartikeyan Devaraju, and Nithyanandan Selya for a fascinating insight into this exciting new field, our sponsors, Server Research, and you, the audience, for listening. We hope you enjoyed it and wish you a productive remainder of the day.